Well, I know that the worst mistake Dominic could make after a song like that is to bring the people down. So I'm going to take it right up on the mountaintop with Peter, James, John, and Jesus, where it's like, whoosh, our heads and our hearts might explode with all the light and all the patriarchs and all the possibilities and all the love. Because, of course, it was love that made Peter declare, Lord, let's build some huts and stay here, just us. It wasn't an effort at tax evasion. We've got proof that Jesus wouldn't have any of that. And it wasn't that they didn't want to fish ever again. We've also got proof of that. So talk about rock your world love. These men, Peter, James, and John, left everything they knew to follow this incarnation of God, this incarnation of love. These men who have known God only through playing by the rules, trying to follow all of the commandments, have now come face to face with God in a way that's trying to make clear to them that the whole purpose of the whole universe, was so that God could be in relationship with God's creation. This proof of God's love incarnate in Jesus is up on this mountaintop, and it's at this moment, it's easy to think about Jesus' life as a series of mountaintop experiences. Just think about it. On the night he was born, a chorus of angels sing glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill to all. And there were so many crowded in a house where he was preaching that there was no room even to get through the door. So some men tore the roof off the building to get their friend to Jesus. And there were so many people that came to hear Jesus preach another time that he had to go out in the boat and use the water as an amplifier. And he fed 5,000 people from a few fish and loaves. And don't you know people talked about that for a while? And soon there will be people lining the streets with their coats and with palm branches and shouting, Hosanna. That's some mountaintop stuff. And this is a true mountaintop story, a mountaintop story in which the saints, or at least three of them, plus a couple of other dignitaries, are marching on. There are so many things to think about in this story. You've probably heard more than your share of sermons that mention how sinfully ridiculous Peter's idea of building huts and staying on the mountain was. You've probably been reminded in a sermon or two how the voice from heaven spoke almost the same words as were spoken from heaven at Jesus' baptism. This is my child, my beloved, my chosen one. You may have heard a sermon about what it was that Jesus, Moses, and Elijah were talking about on that mountain. Matthew's gospel that we heard this morning doesn't share the content of this conversation, but Luke's does. Luke tells us that Jesus, Moses, and Elijah were speaking of Jesus' departure, which he was about to accomplish in Jerusalem. And you need to know that when Luke described that conversation for us, he used a Greek word. He used the Greek word exodov, exodus, to describe Jesus' trip to Jerusalem and the events that would unfold there. And Luke wasn't referring only to a physical departure. He makes a very clear allusion to the saving acts of God in the exodus, when God led the people of Israel to freedom, freedom from slavery in Egypt. What we're asked to understand from Luke's reference to Jesus' exodus from Jerusalem is that his death and resurrection complete for us, for all time, our exodus, our freedom from all that enslaves us. Our redemption. As Israel followed Moses out of Egypt, we're now called to follow the light, Jesus Christ, into our own freedom and to be transformed all along the way. But none of this could have happened if Peter had had his way. Lord, let's build some huts and stay here. There would have been no crucifixion, no resurrection, no Saint Peter, James, or John, no church. But something happened. Something happened to get those three, Peter, James, and John, to come back down the mountain with Jesus and to begin the real work, their life's work, their purpose. What was it that was the catalyst for all of that? I think it's contained in one word. Listen to these few lines again. When the disciples heard this, they fell to the ground and were overcome by fear. But Jesus came and touched them, saying, "Get up and do not be afraid." And when they looked up, they saw no one except Jesus himself alone as they were coming down the mountain, dot, dot, dot. They were overcome by fear until Jesus came and touched them. That Jesus in the flesh that we've been talking about all during this series on intimacy, Jesus who is the result of God's great desire to be in relationship with humankind. All these centuries later, if all of this is to matter to us, we've got to acknowledge this real, in the flesh Jesus who so touched people. I've gone to this quote from James B. Nelson's book, Body Theology, all through our series, and I'm going to use it one more time today. Jesus, to the horror of squeamish Christians, was a laughing, crying, sweating, eating, drinking, digesting, urinating, sexual, sensuous bundle of flesh, just as we are. If we cannot believe that, Dr. Nelson says, we shall have difficulty believing in the holiness of our own bodies. If we cannot believe that, we shall have difficulty believing that we have met God in one of us and still meet God in the flesh. What's he saying? He's saying, if we cannot believe that Jesus was a human being in all its gloriousness, then we'll have difficulty believing that Peter, James, and John and all the others met God in one of us, in a human person, Jesus. And that we, you and I, can still meet God in flesh in the person of Jesus Christ and in all people. If we can't get there, if we won't allow ourselves to be touched by that Jesus, then we're a little like this poem by Wilbur Reese. Listen to this. I hope it doesn't sound like anybody here. I won't ask you to raise your hands. I would like to buy $3 worth of God, please. Not enough to explore my soul or disturb my sleep, but just enough to equal a cup of warm milk or a snooze in the sunshine. I don't want enough God to make me love an Indian or pick beats with a migrant. I want ecstasy, not transformation. I want the warmth of the womb, not a new birth. I want a pound of the eternal in a paper sack. I would like to buy $3 worth of God. We must be touched by Jesus, touched deeply, or we will stay on the mountaintops, or stay in the valleys, or stay in our homes, or stay in our churches. We need to be touched by this living, breathing, in the flesh God incarnate. Touched, meaning excited or provoked to the expression of an emotion, to the expression of, to an action. We need to let this Jesus provoke us to strong emotion and action. We kind of know how that can look. But 364 days out of the year, or 365 days this year, we shy away from that much emotion. Not today, though. Not Fat Sunday, when the air is alive with electricity, when everything is as sensual as sweat and summertime and a lover's dream, the beads, the horns, the jazz, the steam of New Orleans nights. Today we let ourselves remember how others have been moved to action by this intimate Jesus. How John shared an intimate friendship with Jesus, leaning against him as they reclined around the table. Peter's passion that makes him throw on his clothes and jump out of the boat and into the water and struggle to the beach where Jesus is cooking breakfast after his resurrection. This Jesus, this intimate Jesus, leaning down to write in the dust when the woman is caught in adultery, mixing his saliva with dirt and putting it over the blind man's eyes, Jesus kneeling down with only a towel around his waist and washing the feet of the disciples. Jesus in the garden, knowing he's about to die and asking those closest to him to pray. It doesn't get any more intimate than that. And we must let ourselves be touched by it all, touched by Jesus. To be touched so deeply that we are moved to expressions of love. Otherwise, we're cardboard cutouts, we're caricatures of Christ, we're caricatures of Christians. It could look something like this. This is an article written by Reverend Lillian Daniel. It was printed later in the Huffington Post, but she first shared it with her First Congregational Church in Illinois. In it, she satirizes our clueless behavior when we are in our churches and doing our church things, but not being touched by Jesus. I'm going to read this fake announcement from church headquarters that she shared with them. Now remember, this is not me, this is her. This is not us, this is them. This is satire. An important message from church headquarters. Treasuring the freedom that allows us to honor our unique ancient traditions while keeping up with the times, we propose adjusting these special Sundays in the church year. She then offered a long list of classic Christian failures, including this jab at our understanding of mission work. Quote, "Not in my backyard Sunday." This is how she describes that particular new festival day. Bulletin inserts will make it clear that life-changing mission work only takes place overseas where the people are truly grateful. Church members who have taken trips abroad will wear ponchos and speak on how they received more than they gave. Youth will feel a call to ministry, which should dissipate by the fourth hymn. Local poverty within driving distance of the church, gun control legislation, and union organizing drives need not be mentioned. It's easy to get there if we don't allow ourselves to be touched. We need to let ourselves be touched touched by Jesus so deeply, we are moved like Peter, James, and John, touched so deeply we get over our fear and over ourselves. So deeply we're moved to take food and clothes and diapers to the border where fear of difference has created a humanitarian crisis. Touched so deeply that we buy a Little Debbie dessert truck and convert it into showers for our unsheltered neighbors. Touched so deeply that looking on the faces of others is no different than looking in a mirror. And it motivates us to love others as we love ourselves without overthinking. Today, at least, and if you enjoy it, stay with it. Today, at least, let yourself be touched so deeply by Jesus that you are moved to express that love in actions.